feel that music is time to sing it to God. This is the Connect the Dots radio show. I am your host. Go ahead. Author of Connect the Dots series, one of the most thought-provoking books at the early part of the 21st century. That's it. And I was listening, let me just do a little rehash here. I was listening to James Gillian earlier tonight, and he was talking a lot about the tragedy down in Florida, but he said some real interesting things that relate to things I talk about in my book, Connect the Dots Theory. Everybody listening to me, you need to go out and buy a copy of it, because it's the most informative book you'll ever read in your whole life. And you can read it in one night, less than 100 pages of text. I have carefully explained why things are the way they are. I identify who the main causes of evil are, and there are many. And I just put it all together. Plus, I do the connection between science, metaphysics, religion, the spiritual world, movies, geometry, frequencies, and I make all the connections, and I do it in simple language. You don't have to be an Einstein or have an Einstein vocabulary to understand what I'm talking about in my book. That's what I did. Plus, I created a new way of highlighting things so that when you look at the page, you can tell in a second or two seconds if you're slow, you can tell in a second everything that's going to be talked about on that page, because I invented a new way of highlighting things. And it's all in black and white. I didn't have to use colors or anything like that, though that might have been better, but I did it in black and white, and it works. You can look to any page, and you're going to get the basic understanding of what's on the page by a simple glance. This is a totally new way of highlighting. And again, just like this show, you learn things. If you buy my book and just look through it, you'll learn something. Plus, not to mention all the pictures. And in fact, while I'm talking about pictures, I always, when I do the show, I look at certain pages in my book, because there's always something to talk about. Especially some of the pictures I have of an unusual craft hovering in the sky. You know, everybody else, you know, they've got videos of flying saucers, but I have videos of hovering craft. They're just hanging out there at events, and they have unusual shapes. Like, I'm looking at one now to really understand and see what it looks like, because you got to buy the book. The best way I can explain, it's like a giant peanut-shaped craft. And not only is it a giant peanut-shaped craft, but it has like light extension lines to like a shadow of itself, a certain distance across the sky. And I'm estimating that it's maybe a couple of thousand feet in the sky. I'd say the shadow effect of it, that's attached by two strings of light that are in the photo, its shadow could be 1,000 feet from it. You're not going to see a picture like this anywhere else in the world. And now let me just talk about another picture I'm looking at that's in my book. That anybody, it's jaw-dropping. It has a beam of light coming out from beyond the scope of the picture up in the sky, and the beam of light projects three quarters into the photograph, and it just stops there. So, you know, that's left up to your interpretation what it is. It's a big, fat, wide beam of light. My estimation is probably 100 feet wide. And it comes out of the into the frame at the top of the photograph. It goes about two-thirds to three-quarters of the way. Yeah, about three-quarters of the way into the photo. And it just stops, you know? But it doesn't stop with like a flat line. It stops with like a curve, like the top of a pencil eraser or something like that. It's amazing. In the same picture, we have identical reflections of light in unusual shapes, kind of like the Roman cursor letter F. Well, you have to look that up and find out what I'm talking about there. But I do explain it in the book. So I just wanted to talk about those couple of amazing pictures that I have in the book. Pictures not going to see anywhere else. Absolutely nothing like this has ever been photographed and made publicly. You know? So I'm bringing new things to the table. Plus, I've got the picture of the sparkling points of light that hover near the ground, anywhere from 3 feet up to maybe 20 feet. And they're hovering all over the place, you know, and I got a picture of it. I could see with my, if you were there, you could have seen it too with your own eyes. And again, I'm bringing new things to the table. And this is an educational show. And just to show you I can stop on a dime and go to something else, I mentioned the beam of light, 100 feet wide maybe, going, stopping, and three quarters of the way into the photograph, and it doesn't stop with a straight line. It stops with like an eraser tip on a pencil, which brings me to an amusing little, we'll call it children's joke here. What did the one pencil say to the other pencil? I see your point. How much else could a pencil say? Anyhow, back to what James Gillian was talking about. He was talking about his plane trip back from Mexico to Las Vegas, and he was talking about his life was being interfered with, and there was a large reptilian presence in Las Vegas. How he determined that doesn't matter. I'll just take his word for it. But what's interesting about that statement is the fact that there happens to be a movie, you might have seen it. We could say it's a famous movie. It stars Johnny Depp from 1998. The movie's called Fear of Loathing in Las Vegas. Well, and in that movie, there's the scene where they took some LSD and they're tripping, and they're down at the bar, and he turns around and looks at the people in the bar, and they all look like lizards. Well, isn't that coincidental? This is a 1998 movie, Fear of Loathing in Las Vegas. So that relates also to there's a connection there. A movie in 1998 showing somebody seeing lizards, the whole bar full of lizards, reptilians, in Las Vegas. And here James Gillian is talking about flying back to Las Vegas and knowing of a, whether you saw it or felt it, knowing of a strong reptilian presence. Well, that's a connection in my book, and it is in my book, Connected Dots Theory. Not this particular thing, but I talk about movies, science fiction movies in particular, and how they are talking about one or three possibilities. And you can apply this to any science fiction movie, really. It's talking about something unusual that might be happening in the future, or possibly this unusual event, out of this world event, with wild creatures or something, perhaps it happened in the past. And the third possibility, it's happening right now, you just might not be aware of it. And this is true for any science fiction movie, at least, and a lot of other regular movies, too. It's the three things that a movie could be telling you. Something in the past, something in the present, or something that's going to be coming our way in the future. And I give plenty of examples of it. But thanks to James Gillian, I think I've got another one that's another movie showing that something that was probably happening already. There were probably lizards and reptilians in Las Vegas already, and it was also talking about the future. And somebody named James Gillian would fly back to Las Vegas and sense a strong place was loaded with reptiles, disguised as humans, obviously. So, I mean, hey, the name of the show is Connect the Dots, and I'm connecting them right now. And let me just jump to another topic. Oh, by the way, it is a call-in show. The number here is 888-627-6008. Call in and speak truth. Call in, speak what's on your mind. Call in and connect the dots. You connect the dots. Call in and talk about how you have connected the dots. The call-in number is 888-627-6008. And if you're calling from a landline phone, of course, you have to dial 1 first, which would be 1-888-627-6008. So, I claim I'm the only person that gives out a phone number on a radio show more than once, or at least enough for you to get the time to write it down in case you didn't know it already. Let me jump to something else that in certain ways is connected, and that's the key word with this show, connect. Connect and understand, connect and learn, connect and correlate. Well, there's nothing better than a true story, and last week, I believe I was mentioning time dilation. In fact, at the end of the show, we had about, I don't know, it was 3 or 4 seconds silence. We didn't go to the music at the end of the show, and I says, I mentioned this must be a time dilation effect. So anyhow, in relating to time dilation or time mysteries, I've got two related stories to time that are, they're kind of anomalies. In my use, there's a laptop computer connected to a dish antenna to bring in the internet. And for some reason, this laptop computer runs 8 minutes behind time. The time on the screen is always 8 minutes slower than the real time. Why doesn't it correct itself? Who knows? But that's a fact. You know, and it stays that way. Now, a real mystery time thing in relation to computers, maybe this one can be explained. I'll leave it up to you to explain. You got the call-in number, you think you got the answer, call up. But let me explain the situation here to you. I had a desktop computer, and I shut it off for two and a half years, something like that. It was unplugged and packed in a box. Okay, when I finally took it out and plugged it back in and started to use it again, but I wasn't using it in connection with the internet anymore. It was an older computer. I just used it as a word processor, type things out, or print labels, you know, stuff like that. So it wasn't connected to the internet. Well, it had a clock in it. And all of a sudden, I took notice that the clock somehow was running a day and a half, approximately, into the future. And it's still running a day and a half into the future. And since I've been using this, when I took it back out of the box, I've been using it for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. But in all that 3 and 4 years, it's not connected to the internet because I didn't have to deal with security or any crap like that. And I knew if I didn't connect it, I wouldn't have to worry about losing all the stuff I had put into. Mainly, I did my whole book. When I was putting my book together, I did all the pages on the computer, and I didn't want to lose anything or worry about losing anything or have to deal with securities and all that. I didn't want to have to be concerned about any hacking into it, so I just didn't connect it to the internet. And it wasn't that sophisticated of an item that somebody could remotely hack into it. But from the minute I plugged it in, shortly after I noticed, I'm a day and a half into the future, and it's pretty much stated in general a day and a half into the future. How that happens, I don't know. But go figure, as they say. But it's, you know, kind of a little time mystery. And, you know, mysteries cause us to think. Oh, one more thing. Jumping back to James Gillian talking about the shootings. Some of the things, because my mind's going 20 million miles per second, 10 to the 41st power. Somebody else discovered that information, and it's out there in books. Why isn't it public information? Well, we know. World controllers want to keep us stupid. They don't want to give us important information like that. And besides that, it somewhat contradicts Einstein's statement, well, nothing can go faster than 186,000 miles per second. Well, yeah, within certain parameters, that's true, because some forms of light to some extent. I clearly mentioned in my book that every dimension you go up, dimensional plane of existence, every zone of reality, the higher you go, the faster the vibrations go, which kind of bunks out that 186,000 miles per second limit. And your thinking is 10 to the 41st power. Go figure that one out. I don't even know what you call that number. If there is a name for it, easiest way to explain it is 10 to the 41st power. That means there's 41 zeros. Get it? Big number. And that's how fast thinking goes. So anyhow, back to the point here. I was listening to the part James Gillian was talking about teachers and students. Students hearing shots from more than one direction. A teacher hearing shooter talking to someone else. So more proof that there's more than one shooter, probably. And so it made me think, you know, and we'd like the truth. general public here, we would like the truth from those who were investigating. So it made me think we really need civilian investigators from this point on, because we can't trust the police, we can't trust the FBI, and we'd get a truer story if the school did their own investigation and listened to what everyone had to say. Then we'll listen to what the police or the FBI have to say, because at this point we can't trust these people. We can't trust authorities. We can't trust mainstream media. And so we have to take command of the situation. In fact, I'm telling all of them right now, hey, police, you can't be trusted. Hey, FBI, you can't be trusted. And of course, the CIA, we know you can't be trusted. So the only thing that we, the people, can do is take command of the situation. We need to take command of killing investigations and other important investigations, because the authorities apparently can't be trusted. I'm sure there's a few of them we can trust, but there's too many we can't trust, and especially in these school shooting things, because they're all false flag operations in the sense that mind control is the key factor that we need to be looking at. Who's doing the mind control? Who's turning troubled people or mentally challenged people into zombies and ordering them to go out or just to be there so they can become the fall guy? And there's so many anomalies in this case already. But, you know, other people are talking about this. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I've made my statement. Civilians need to do the investigations. Every parent in Parkland, Florida, ought to get together and do their own investigation, because at this point we know the authorities are lying to us. They're covering things up. It's sickening. And we all had enough of this. You know, you got to draw a line in the sand somewhere, and I think this Parkland, Florida situation is the place to draw the line in the sand. Because enough is enough. We're sick of the lying, the conspiracy to lie. People, the authorities that are, you know, it's just sickening. They're lying to us. We want the truth. Whatever the truth is, just give us the truth. Of course, they're not going to, the ones who are committing or behind the false flag operation are not going to tell us that it's a false flag operation. But we figured this out already for ourselves, and we're tired of it. It's recognizable. Again, here we have contradictions between the people who are victimized and the authorities. Same thing in Las Vegas. You know, it was proven. The stuff's out there on the internet. It was proven there was more than one shooter. Scientifically proven there was more than one shooter at Las Vegas. And the authorities still haven't come clean with that. And they're still trying to pulling everything off on the fall guy. And here it is, the same scenario again. Already we have witnesses saying, relating to more than one shooter. And here they're trying to pull the same old scam on us, telling us it's just the one guy, troubled kid. And they're trying to connect it to automatic weapons again, please. It's so sickening. I mean, truthfully, I don't care how many gun laws you have. If somebody who really wants to go get a machine, and I don't believe anybody really wants to do that, people are conned into do that, or they're turned into zombies to do that, these kind of things. And it's all about to try to con people into giving up their guns, because that's what the bad guys want to do. Just like they did in every other country, the bad guys took over. They took away the people's guns first, and then people didn't have anything to defend themselves from, and then the government really laid in the military overrule of everything, took away everybody's rights, and what could you do about it? Because they were the only ones who had the guns. You know, and this is the same crap they're trying to pull, and we're wise to it, and they're never going to get our guns, so why don't they just give the hell up? I mean, really. That's why we need more guns, more people with more guns to protect us from the criminals in this world and the evil government criminals and the evil secret military criminals. We need more weapons to protect ourselves, really. Let's talk a real conversation here. Well, so much for that. I got to move on. Because there's more important things to talk about, like love. Because love is more powerful than evil. Except love becomes more powerful when we can unify it. And many people talk about, that never get on mainstream media, they talk about your personal projection of love. I've got the statement already in my book, projecting love will gather love. It's a philosophical statement, and it's true. When you project love out there, you get it back. And one of the best worldwide known examples is the Beatles. That's why they changed the world, because when they went out there and performed for the audience, they were projecting love within their songs, within their performance. They were friendly, they were outgoing, and they had a sincere desire to entertain the people. And it all could be summed up in love. They even wrote the song, All You Need Is Love. And they knew how to project it. And the response from many, many people in the world was to give back that love. And that's how they changed the world, without even trying, just by projecting loving vibrations. And love is powerful. And unfortunately, we don't spend enough time unifying socially and projecting love. Pop music performances often are good venues for projecting love, if the music is good. I mean, there are certain types of music out there that are just not loving. They know who they are, and but many types of music are loving, and when the loving music is projected to the audience and the audience returns it, love rules, and love is powerful, and it creates good things. Love can create miracles in certain ways. So, but there's a science to love also. I mean, there's such a thing as healing with love. And I've learned from reading real intelligent books that you can use, if your group of people are interested in doing healings with love, having an understanding of geometry will help you in your group love projection. And when you think of geometric shapes and figures, like, for example, a common good geometric shape is called a hexagon. All right? And we all know how to draw a hexagon. Well, I hope most of us do. But to define a hexagon, think of where the angles are. A hexagon has six sides, and where each of those sides meet another side, it's a point of meaning, sometimes referred to as a vertex, but think of it as a point of meaning. So we have six sides, and there's six points where those six sides meet. Each one of those points is a vertex, or it's a focal point of energy. And so if you took six people and positioned yourself to form that hexagon shape, That would be a powerful love healing formation. And then you all need to synchronize your thoughts to be thinking on the same basic thought, and then the thoughts will automatically combine together and you can draw in energy from the universe. And perhaps others in higher dimensions will take notice of what you're doing and they'll do the mechanics of the healing that you may not know how to do yourself. But by setting up the group healing and using geometry, you're gaining the attention of the higher realms of the universe, and they, if they're loving beings, will assist you in the healing and do what needs to be done that they know they can do, and perhaps that perhaps you in 3D reality don't have the ability to do yet, or know how to work the levers to make it happen. And so you can do this with all the geometric shapes, basically. The pentagons. Probably work with a square, too. Four corners, four points. And I hear other numbers. The key is to that no matter how many people you have, to basically place yourself equidistant from each other and put the person who needs the healing in the center. So you might need to get some yardsticks or rulers and map it out before you start. Mark the spots on the floor, have the person sit in the center, and then get a consensus of what you're going to be focusing on with your thoughts, and then proceed. And you can combine this with singing notes. You can combine it with vocalizing sounds, or you can tone instruments and use your imagination. But group healing is a way of groups joined together in unison to project loving vibrations. And there are books out there that give you some good help how to set this up. My favorite book, it's called The Crystal Connection. I mentioned it in my book, Connect the Dots Theory. I mentioned several other good books. But what I'm talking about here, group healings, The Crystal Connection, it's perfect. It gives you the diagrams. It shows you how to set it up. And it's a hard book to find. It's a challenge for those who are truth seekers. Try and get yourself a copy of The Crystal Connection. Spelled just like it sounds. The authors are Vicky Baer, B-A-E-R, I believe it is, or and her husband, I can't think of the name, starts with a V also. Just give the people in the book sort of the last name, Baer, B-A-E-R, in case they need the author's name. But the name of the book is The Crystal Connection. You'll learn a world of information from it. And you'll find that these people got their information by learning how to access the higher realms. And that's how the book actually goes on to explain that's how you get information. You have to learn how to access the higher realms, and then your intelligent level determines how far you'll access. So I've given you some clues, but again, I'll warn you, it's a hard book to get. You're probably going to have to get it used because it's out of print, and the big company that originally printed, they're not going to reprint it. No way, because all the big corporations are controlled by the dark side. That's your challenge. Find yourself a used copy, because it'll be worth it. One of the most informative books ever written. And it was written by people that went out seeking the truth, learned how to seek the truth, and revealed all the truth they did get hold of. They put it in their book. And I learned a lot from it, I'll tell you that. But I just like to make this statement, not to brag, but in my life, the large portion of what I learned is from first-hand experience and just the desire to want to know what makes things tick. Why is this this way? Why is that that way? Why do people act this way? Well, I started young, and when you go through life with a lot of experiences, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, the number of experiences I had in my life, it's like I've lived 10 lives already, and I'm far from over. Of course, the new reality is coming, and hey, I'm ready for the new reality, you know? I don't have to spend one more day in this world. That's like I said, I've lived 10 lifetimes in one lifetime. Because I wanted to go out there and experience, and I've had more than my share of experiences. And experience is the best teacher, it really is. But then I learned a tremendous amount from books, too. And I've learned a tremendous amount by doing my own experimentations with things. And what can I say? Nothing better than a true story. Anyway, just let me remind everybody, hey, this is a call-in radio show. Number is 888-627-6008. Okay. And I'll tell you the number again. 1-888-627-6008. Call in. Talk about love. It's a four-letter word. Oh, my God. But it's a good four-letter word. And we all should be talking more about love. And it's our responsibility for all of us to learn how to project love, because projecting love will gather love. I read that in a book somewhere. Yeah, my book. But anyhow, talking about love, a great way of spreading love is music. And as a singer-songwriter, I've had a lot of experience in learning about writing songs that project love. And I kind of learned that by just trying to copy the songwriting of my favorite group, the Beatles, because their songs were full of love and good vibrations and good messages. And, you know, just when you put enough effort in trying to emulate people you care about, people you admire, you end up becoming somewhat like them. And so I learned how to write songs and write songs with good messages. And that's why I talk about it in my show, because my the two albums I have now out now at the CD Baby Music Store, there's a lot of, even in the titles, there's a lot of talk about love and good vibrations. I do social commentary songs too, and I do rock and roll party songs, but there's always love in there in one way or another. I put it in because love is an important factor. And when you have songs that contain messages of love, they have a good influence upon people. And every song I ever written, it had a purpose, either a purpose to give a message of that would be beneficial in a positive way to people that listen to it, or I do a social commentary song about things that need to be addressed and things that we should be thinking about and making an effort to change for the better. And then I write party songs, too. Songs about having a good time, in a loving way, of course. And that's why I make mention of my material. I mean, the record company is never going to put it out there because I'm not willing to play their game. In fact, I had my meeting with Atlantic Records many years ago, and unfortunately, the guy I had to talk to was a total asshole. I don't want to mention his name, but he fits into that category. And when I got done listening to him, what he thought that I should do, or what his record company wanted to do with my career, I said, forget about it. You know, I didn't say it, but I just walked out of the place and I just like, forget it. You know, I don't want to be part of this bullshit. And there was no other way to explain it. And so I just drifted away from music for a while, but I never stopped writing songs. And eventually I just started doing my own recordings and putting my own music out there. Of course, when you don't have distribution, it's hard to really get noticed. You know, I went about as far as I could do everything by myself, including getting songs on many jukeboxes. That was fun to do, and it wasn't that difficult. But without distribution, nobody's going to buy your stuff. Probably now, the closest thing to distribution is having two albums out at CD Baby Music Store. And the easiest way to get there, if you're listening to BBS Radio now, you just go to the BBS Radio schedule, you know, Saturday, 10 p.m., my show, Connected Dots, and you click on to the name of the show, Connected Dots, and there you'll find the link to CD Baby Music Store, and you just click that link, and there's my two albums. And, you know, you can listen to 29 seconds of each song first, or you can just go buy them and take my word for it. You won't be disappointed. Because it has something to offer, you know, in a positive way. So you won't be wasting your money, that's for sure. And because in the modern world, you can download just one of the songs that you think you want. And download is only 99 cents, which is, you know, a good price and something you can do now nowadays that a long time ago you couldn't do. You wanted a song on the album, and you had to buy the whole album to get that one song, especially if it wasn't put out as a single on a 45 RPM record. You had to, I mean, who even has records anymore, except collectors, or who has even a record player anymore? what's that? Gee, golly. Ancient artifacts from the 20th century. But anyhow, my music has got something to offer, and it's easy to listen. I never wrote a bad song that was going to be difficult to listen to. Or at least I never wrote one and recorded a bad song. Sure, you know, after writing over 100 songs, you know, some of them are probably not worth recording, and I didn't record them. My repertoire of songs was way beyond the two albums, but I just, you know, at this point in time, I felt that putting two albums over that would make sense. They're educational, they're entertaining, it's good listening, and listening to my music will make you a smarter person because I put philosophy in the songs too. Plus, if you like guitar playing, my American Party Songs album some of the greatest guitar playing you ever heard. I mean, you know, it's there on the, speaks for itself, truthfully, yeah. And not every album has great guitar playing, but American Party Songs has great guitar playing on it. What can I say? That and one more 5-second comment about the albums here. The there's the album Songs Better Than Dylan, 22 songs on there. They are better than Dylan, mainly because I sing better than him. But as far as philosophical commentary, social commentary, I'm in the same league he is, whether he knows it or not. But I claim to be better than him, and my songs are better than him because I've got more of these great songs on one album than he ever had on one album. And I sing them all better than he sings any songs. What can I say, you know? But that doesn't take away from his greatness. You know, a great American songwriter he is and always will be. But he hasn't written any great ones lately. I never stop writing great songs. I've got a number of them right now. I just haven't recorded them because they need more of a full band. And getting people together to do something when you don't, you know, living on a shoestring budget and you don't have money to pay people to be on a recording for you, well, it's pretty hard, let me tell you. You try to get people to do something for nothing. What can I say? That's why most of the songs on my Songs Better Than Dylan album, they're I had to do the whole thing like myself. Most of them are just folk rock. Some of the songs only guitar backup or guitar and bass. I got to do all the parts myself, like I was Paul McCartney doing his famous album where he played all the parts. But you do what you got to do, and you got to do it on the budget you have. And my budget usually is no money except my own personal small amount. So be it. Anyhow, hey, this is a call-in show. Somebody out there has to have a phone and be willing to take that first step in life where you actually call into a radio show and get to hear yourself talk. The number is 888-627-6008. And okay, if you're not going to call in, pretend you called in. How about that? Think about what you would say if you decide to call in, but just pretend you're going to call me. We'll give you something to think about while I'm talking. Anyhow, let me jump over to the Pleiadians. You know why they're called the Pleiadians? Because these are highly evolved extraterrestrial beings that come from the cluster of stars known as the Pleiades. Sometimes it's the cluster is referred to as the Seven Sisters, but if you look at a picture of what the that group of stars known as the Pleiades looks like, you'll end up counting more than seven. You know, sometimes I've heard that there's nine basic stars. And just for the record, LC1 is the star, supposedly, that the sun does is somehow connected to and revolving around our sun. Yes, our sun, the star that we call the sun. And LC1 is supposed to be the main star of the Pleiades. At least that's what I heard. For sure, I guess you have to talk to a real Pleiadian. I hear they're on the earth right now, trying to get rid of some of the bad guys that have been ruining life for humans for a long, long time. And there's plenty of bad ETs on earth, but I hear the good guys, the Pleiadians, are here to try to help us and help remove some of the bad guys. And reset the clocks or reset the frequencies for the Earth moving into the fifth dimension, and we have the opportunity to move into the fifth dimension and as a whole human race. It's called the planetary ascension. And you might think of it as the second coming, but there's no guarantee that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to show up at this event. So it might be, the second coming might be another ascension event after this one. But anyhow, this one is happening now very soon. I hear the latest date it can happen is 2025. It keeps getting put off, but, you know, once you get beyond a certain amount of time, because everything in the universe is moving in different directions, in different circles. Oh yes, the movement of everything in the universe is very organized. It goes in circles or wheels, as it said. That information is available. I learned it from books. The books are out there gathering dust. The information is out there, hidden from the general public. And things like that. That's why I ran for president in the last two elections. That's why I'm running again for president of the United States in the next election, because I'll bring these things out to the general public that should be basic information taught in public schools. You know? We've all been to public school that are done with it, and some of us have children now going to public school. And it's kind of sad that the one thing they don't teach you that you should have been taught, or even your parents didn't know, but it would have been nice if they knew, they could have taught you before you went to school, but public schools should certainly be reteaching the information as to who you are as a human being. You know, we've all been lied to. We're not just flesh and blood. You know, created by our physical parents. Our physical parents are co-creators. They create the physical portion of the body. But a human being is made up of invisible bodies superimposed over the physical body. Originally, for many years, people had a definition of three invisible bodies over the one physical one. Now it's more information has come down the pike. Now we got four invisible overlapping bodies over the one physical one. And that's who you are as a human being. You're a spirit living in a physical shell right now. Your real essence, there's many explanations for your real essence, but in basic, you are a spirit being that is living a short lifetime in a physical body. This needs to be explained to people in the human race. So one, they, yeah, there is an afterlife. You know? There, when you die, the physical death, that is not the end of you. So you don't really have to fear death. Sure, we don't want to die until we feel that we've done everything we want. But death itself is nothing to fear because it's not total death, and the information is out there from the minute your last moment here on earth in your mind, in your consciousness. 1 second later, you're waking up in the next reality with loving angels there to comfort you and talk to you about your life on earth as a physical being. And this information should be passed on to all humans. I'm doing my little part tonight, passing on some of it. there's so much known that we as humans should all know about, and it's being kept from us by evil government and evil world controllers. So anyhow, back to the Pleiadians. Who are the good guys? There's probably some bad Pleiadians, because I saw that in a movie once called Starlight, featuring Willie Nelson. 1995 movie. Look it up. Extremely interesting, entertaining. And in that movie, there are bad Pleiadians. But anyhow, the good Pleiadians are here, and they are either living, co-hosting, living a coexistence in a human body that has agreed to allow them to live that coexistence, or they've downstepped themselves into a physical body, or they're here in their Pleiadian form, whatever that may be, or they're here as spirits, who knows? And there's probably plenty of variations of it, but anyway, just to jump to it simply, there's a Pleiadian video on YouTube, and I came across it on Twitter, but it's a YouTube video, and I believe it's titled "The Pleiadians Explain Everything." Everything, yes. So it's 2.5 hours long, and I watched it because I claim to be one of the people that can explain everything. In fact, I do have enough knowledge to be able to explain anything. You can come out at me and talk to me about anything, and I'll be able to, one, comprehend it, and two, explain it in simpler terms to whomever I'm talking to. And I am that kind of person. I can, in short time, evaluate what intelligence level you are and what words I have to choose to get explain things to you, the individual. It's called being intuitive. I have that down. Anyhow, it's worth watching if you want explanations to about, you know, your existence here, who you are as a human being, what lies beyond this, what perhaps you existed at before you came here. The Pleiadians explain everything in 2.5 hours, and I can attest to the fact that after listening to the information in it, this video, that it's worth listening to, and it explains a lot. And, you know, pass the information along, check out the video yourself. I mean, the video is just, you know, it keeps changing the pictures. You don't see any Pleiadians or anything like that. You know, they're not talking to you face to face, but listen to what they're saying. Yeah, I found it very informative. I found I agree with just about all of it. And I didn't find any red flags in it or anything. And it's, you know, if you're interested in truth, check it out. Look for it on YouTube. The Pleiadians Explain Everything. And if you're really looking for knowledge, even beyond what the Pleiadians talk about, buy my book, Connected Dots Theory. You know, I've been hearing stories about ETs for years, and I've been listening to the opinions coming from there's plenty of other books out there where information was revealed to the human race by extraterrestrials. And I've come to the conclusion there are some ETs out there that know us very well, and the other ETs that don't know us that well. And there are surely plenty of things that I know from experience that you can learn here on Earth that higher evolved beings know nothing about. Hard to believe, but it's true. Perhaps that's why we're a valued race amongst the higher dimensions. I mean, I've learned things in my lifetime that when I get in the afterlife, I have plenty to share with those of the higher realms that they were probably had no idea of comprehending such things or have even heard of such things, but I've had the pleasure of experiencing them here, and I've got my bag of pieces to the puzzle. Believe me, that will be quite impressive when I get into the higher reality and share them with higher evolved beings. And that's the importance of learning, to gather a connection of the dots and then share it with others later. The more we share with each other, one thing leads to another, and we all become teachers and students at the same time. And that's part of coexistence, that's part of co-creation, that's part of coming together as one. And of course, the real coming together is of one is when you, on your journey in life, make it back to the source from which all human souls or personalities come from, personally known as the Heavenly Father. When you get to the island of paradise and are in the presence of God, then you are one with God, and you come back to the initial source of your identity, your personality. Yes, all personalities come from the first source and center known as the Heavenly Father. That information has been revealed in literature. It's in the bookstores. Why don't you know about it? Because there's plenty of bad guys in this world that want to keep you from learning the truth. Because the truth empowers you to be loving and therefore more powerful than evil. Concentrate on love, project love. May love be with you. Because we're coming to the end of the show till next week. Spread the word that love is the word. Spread the word to your friends to listen to the show, but to call in, because the more we can share with each other, the more we can help each other understand, the more loving we'll be, and the more powerful we'll be in a collective consciousness. And that's what the human race needs, a collective consciousness of love, so we can move into the fifth dimension as soon as possible. The only thing preventing us now is ourselves, and the fact that evil has succeeded in keeping us fighting amongst each other for no reason at all and ignorant of the real truth. Well, I'm doing my share with this show to help educate all of us as much as I can. And okay, so we're coming to the end of the show. Those of you who know the end, I ended with music, my music, you know. Starts with the ending guitar solo to my song, Are You the Pardoning Kind? That's on my American Party song album. And there's three great solos in that song. You just get to hear the last one. And that's followed by the first song on Songs Better Than Dylan, I Gotta Be Somebody. It's an anthem for everybody who wants to be somebody. Most of us want to be somebody. Listen to it all the way through, and you'll hear what appears to be a galloping horse at the end. I claim it's the only record that has a galloping horse at the end. Well, okay. And don't forget to go to the BBS radio schedule, click on the name of my show, and then you'll get the link to connect you right at the link to CD Baby Music Store. It'll be in purple print. Click on that, it'll take you right there, and you can preview my two albums. And hopefully, for your own benefit, get one of them, get one for a friend, and it'll help me get out of poverty, because that's it. You know, I live from day to day. I'm not good at saving money. I'm just a person living life to its fullest. A happy poor man, you could call me. But, you know, see if you can help raise me out of being poor. That's the only way I have is to have people buy my products. Okay, I got to go. See everybody. Peace and love to everyone. I'll see you, talk to you, rather, in next week. on the BBS Radio Network. Okay, Mr. Engineer, take us out of here. I'm going to give you the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Statistic. I don't want to be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. I don't want to be no John Doe. I don't want to grow just to be old. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, my stand without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stopped and looked, cause I caught their eye. I don't wanna be nobody's slave. I don't wanna join in my grave. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody. Here took my stand without fear, it is clear to the world.